I'm going to be in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, as we continue our study on Bible characters and what their message is. I'm going to deal with a person that we probably will do multiples on him because he's a unique character, and that's Peter. Peter, the pumpkin eater. He was a unique individual. In the book of Luke, let me go ahead and give you the kind of the background on what I want to speak on today in the book of Luke. I'm in the 22nd chapter, and Peter was such a unique person that, God, we could have so many lessons on him. But Peter, one of the 12 disciples, would always jump up and say something before he thought. Peter would jump up and do something before he thought. Of him walking on the water just for a brief second and getting out of the boat with Jesus. Peter always would do something. He was that type of personality. Now, I can really relate to Peter, you know. I really can. I know he was a sanguine temperament. But in Luke chapter 22... you have the stories that goes along before Christ is arrested. If you remember that before he was arrested, he was being charged by the religious leaders who wanted him dead. They kept tracking him, and they kept wanting to capture him. And in Luke chapter 22, verse number 33, he has an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said unto the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And you remember what Jesus told Peter? Peter, you don't have a clue what you're telling me. You're just popping off again. Well, listen, follow along with me, the next verse. In fact, you'll deny knowing me three times before the rooster crows. That was the conversation. And Peter said, no, I won't. Yes, you will, Peter. No, I won't. Yes, you will. He said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. He said, I'm ready to go with you. I'll die for you. Peter, you don't even know what you're talking about. And so as they were moving along, as Jesus was on his way to the cross, and let me remind you that no one could stop him from going to the cross. He was going to the cross because it was the Father's will for him to go to the cross. Before the soldiers arrested him. They were up in the upper room, and they were having a meal. It was called the what supper? Oh, y'all getting really good. See, y'all got my blank. See, the Last Supper. The Last Supper. Y'all getting conditioned. And it was the Last Supper. And you remember, Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. And so he went over to Judas. Hey, Judas right here. I'm not heading to you, okay? I'm going in. Hey, I know what you're going to do. Just go on and do it. You see, Judas did not slip up on Jesus. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. Judas was going to betray him. And he knew that he already had cut a deal with the Roman government to turn Jesus over to them. And so Jesus went to him and says, do what you want to do. So Judas left. Jesus took the other 11 disciples, we're in Luke chapter 22, and he went into a garden. Verse number 45, he went to a garden. And if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are all four of the Gospels to get your storyline here, to get all your facts, he went to the garden and he told the disciples, he said, look, Peter, James, and John, I want you to sit right here and I want you to watch and pray. Watch me now. I want you to watch and pray. He took the other 8 disciples to another part of the garden and he told them, I want y'all to pray. And the Bible says Jesus went over by himself and he prayed. And you remember what the prayer was? I'm just reminding you. Father, if there be any other way other than me going to the cross and to die for the sins of men and women, let's let it happen. If not, nevertheless, that your will be done. You remember that? He checked in with the Father. Is this what you want to do? Is this your plan? Are you wanting me to die what they call the passion of the pain of the cross? Is this what I'm just checking in with you. I'm not weaning out on you. I'm just checking in with you. There's a difference in weaning out and checking in. He's checking in. And the Bible said he went back over to the disciples And what does it say they were doing? Follow along in 45. Fellas, get up, get up. Pray, pray. And he left them and went over to another part of the garden, back over the garden, and he prayed. And he prayed the same prayer the second time. Father, if there be any other way other than bring salvation to men and women, tell me now. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. He went back over, and what did he find them doing? Sleeping. Fellas, can you just pray? Just pray. And he went back over the third time, and he's checking in with the Father. And the Bible says that he, from one of the Gospels, that he prayed so hard, Jesus prayed so hard that he sweated what? Blood. That would have been in your blank. He sweated blood. And I don't know. I've been told that could happen. The capillary. I don't know. But you could be so intense that you could sweat blood. And the Bible says he went back over the third time, and he didn't ask them what they were doing. He just told them to get up and follow him. And he went to another part of the garden, and he's waiting. And about that time, the story says that the soldiers walked in, and they walked in with a guy named Judas. Judas brought them there to arrest Jesus. And the Bible says that as they went there, that Judas said, "There he is, right there. There he is." And in fact, he went over and gave Jesus a kiss on the cheek. I call it a kiss of death. He gave him a kiss on the cheek. Soldiers grabbed him. The soldiers grabbed Jesus. And what did our hero do? He jumped up. He took the sword out of the soldier's sheath and tried to cut his ear off. I mean, cut his head off, and he got his ear. And you remember what Jesus did? Jesus went, picked it up, put it back on the soldier's head, healed it. And I believe he said to Peter, "Peter, get out of my way. I'm going to the cross. I don't need you to go become a fisherman and becomes a swordsman and can't even hit the neck. Cooper. I'm going to the cross." That's our hero. That's Peter. And so the Bible says, after the encounter there, and when they're taking him away, verse 54, follow along, verse 54, "And they took him, and they led him and brought him to the high priest's house." And look here. And it says, "And Peter did what?" Followed what? Your King James may say afar. That's not in the South when you're going, something's burning, you're going to a fire. He was following from afar. He was following from a distance. He was following from afar. How do you get to following from afar? Let me just say in my introduction, you will turn to the world and its system, or you'll turn to God in its system. You'll turn to the world and its system, or you'll turn to God and His system. You'll wake up one day, if you're not careful, you'll wake up one day and find yourself where you never intended to be. God, there's so much in Peter's life. I don't want to get on another lesson. Let's just do this one, Emery. There's just something about him. And so what I want to do today is to explain to you about Simon Peter's name. Simon, which is means reed, bendable reed. Peter was very bendable, wasn't he? He was very bendable. It depends on who he was around. He was bendable. But the name Peter means rock. And you remember when Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the rock." Let me tell you what the Greek says. The Greek says that the name Peter means Petros, which means little dinky pebble. It doesn't mean big boulder. And Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." That's why it wasn't upon Peter, the little dinky pebble. It was on this rock, and that boulder and that interaction was who Peter said Jesus was. He was Christ, the Son of the living God. That was the rock. And Peter was one that answered that question. Peter was a bendable, flexible reed, but he was also a rock. And it was the changes in his life. We talked about changes in life. We talked about Paul's changes in life. There's going to be one right here today. Here we go. Let me talk to you today about Mr. Reed Rock. Here's three steps to getting afar. It's right here in Luke. Right here in Luke. As we follow along here, number one, he was very prideful in his life. Very prideful in his life. Verse 33, I am ready to die for you. I am ready to die for you, he said to him. Verse 33. And now all of a sudden, verse 54, he's following him from afar. I'm ready to die. Peter had a fatal flaw, and Peter's fatal flaw was pride. That was a prideful statement he said that he couldn't back up. It was a very prideful statement, fatal flaw. You know, all of us can have fatal flaws. I'm thinking back on Bible characters, and I'm thinking about Martha. Martha, you remember when Jesus was going to Mary Martha's house for a little dinner before he was crucified. And that was right after Judas was resurrected. That's another Bible. I mean, his best friend was resurrected. That's another Bible story. Martha had a problem there. Her fatal flaw was busyness. She was so busy in there in the kitchen. You remember, with the pots and pans and serving the dinner in her house and everything. And her sister Mary, where was Mary? Mary was in there. She was sitting at his feet worshiping him. And Martha's in the kitchen with the pots and pans. And she came in and rebuked her sister. Why aren't you out here helping me? Jesus rebuked her and said, well, Martha, 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 calm down. Calm down. Most important thing in his life is not preparing the meal. Let me just say, I don't want to name any names, but I've been around a lot of people, a lot of ladies and men have this too, that they get so worried about the details, and when people are coming over their house, it just everything just stops because everything's got to be right. It's got to look right. We got to set this up right. And as a husband, I don't know if you guys have ever done it. We've had people come over, and I'm counting heads of people are coming over, and I'm counting chairs in our living room, and they don't match. And so I go out in the garage and get a couple of folding chairs, and next thing I know, I come back in, they're gone. What's so funny?
It didn't match.
And so there's a lot of Sister Marthas out there. I live with a Sister Martha. I know. I've learned my lesson on that. You're not setting up for a PTA meeting here. It doesn't match. It just doesn't match. And so, Martha had her prideful Judas. Oh, what was his fatal flaw? It was money. His fatal flaw was money. He wanted the money. And the Bible says that Judas, which is another character we'll do, he was the keeper of the bag. He had the money. He had the club. I'm not calling him a club. The disciples' money that they would distribute out there. He had it. And he got so wound up that time that Jesus went in and to the house of Mary and Martha. And remember, Mary went up to Jesus and took the alabaster box of ointment and crashed it, broke it over his head, anointed him. And you remember what happened to Judas? He exploded. On a scale from 1 to 10, he had a 34. He said, we could have given that money to the poor. In the Bible, Jesus said to him, you don't even care about the poor. You'll always have the poor. See, what he cared about was the money that was lost. Because he knew he had a plan out there that he was going to turn Jesus over. And then after Jesus was arrested, who gets to keep the bag? Judas. And so Judas had a fatal flaw here. And so, but Peter had a fatal flaw, and it was his pride. The second thing that three steps in getting afar to get in a way is found. He was prayerless in his walk. We've already gone through that. Luke 22, verse 45. Luke 22, verse 45, Jesus found him sleeping. He was getting afar because he was so prideful in his life, but he was just prayerless. And I've told you before, and I'll repeat it again, prayer to God is worship. Prayer to you and me is work, but prayer to Satan is warfare. You know, one of the hardest things, I admit to you, I'm not a man of prayer like I need to be. It's not that it's agonizing, sweating work, but it is work. You have to intend to do it. You have to be a prayerful person. And I work hard on praying more. And not that I'm trying to get it into heaven, but it's an important thing because prayer to God is worship. And the most powerful thing you can do is to pray. And the thing that does the most good, sometimes we do the least of. Peter was found sleeping. Listen, he was at the most important time with the most important person. he was at the most important time in that garden with the very most important person, and he couldn't even pray. He fell asleep. The third step in getting afar is he was pitiful in his relationships. Pitiful in his relationships. Look at verse number 55. They'd already arrested Jesus. They've taken him away for the mock trials, the worked up trials. Word had got around town. It was at nighttime. It was cold. And it says in verse 55, it says, "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together." Oh, I always look at the little words. When they had kindled a fire. Who's they? It was Jesus' enemies, or curious, or somebody that wants to, curious people. It says, when they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, they're sat down together, and Peter was in the midst of them. Your translation may say, Peter sat down among them. Peter was pitiful in his relationships. He was in the midst of them. Peter should not have been with them. I don't believe he should have been with them. I think he was where he should not have been. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, he who sleeps with dogs arises with fleas. He who runs with wolves learns how to howl. Ooh. Peter had no business at that time being there with these people. With these people. And it said he sat down in the midst of them. And it says, follow along in verse 56, but a certain maid beheld him. The word beheld means to look, to gaze. Beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was among him. This man was with him, Jesus. This man. Verse 57. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Strike one. And after a little while later, another one saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, number two, man, I am not. In about a space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. In verse 60, strike three, I know not what you say. And immediately, if you'd had one of those child books when you used to push a button and make sounds, that's the way, if you'd push that verse right there, it'd go. Here's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Coming up. Look at it now. You won't miss it. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Can you imagine the emotions of Simon Peter in that fire, sitting around that fire with those yahoos? He had no business being with them. And the Bible said when he denied knowing the Lord the third time, he heard the rooster crow, and the Lord turned and gazed and looked at Peter. And then Peter would remember what the Lord had told him. You'll deny knowing me three times. And he will remember the argument he had with him. No, I won't. Yes, you will. No, I won't. Yes, you will. No, I won't. Yes, you will, Peter. It says he turned and looked at Peter and remembered. Verse 62.
Yeah. When they were sitting at the fire, were they just like holding Jesus and waiting for something?
Oh, this was the crowd just waiting. They were waiting on what was going to happen. They were in there with the fake trials. It was the people out in the courtyard.
Jesus turned and said something.
Yeah, he was there in the midst. They had him out there in the courtyard. You're exactly right. But this was like a group of people waiting in line for tickets to a concert or something. They knew what was fixing to happen. They may be witnessing a crucifixion. These people are no different than where we are now. We want to see a fight. We want to see something drastic happen. These people were not really followers of Jesus Christ. Peter was, but they wanted to see what was going to happen to this Galilean. They've arrested him now. What's going to happen? And so the conditions caused them to kindle a fire, the Bible says, to keep warm and everything. But when Peter was denied him, he, all of a sudden, he was in the midst. He was still under arrest, but he was in the midst, standing there. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And that's when Peter remembered what the Lord had told him. And the Bible says here, verse number 62, and he says, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Peter went out and wept bitterly. One step back, Peter was broken over his sin. This is so exciting right here. Grab the emotions. Visualize the scripture. Don't overlook the little words here. The Bible says, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." I believe that Peter was broken over his sin, and he went out and wept bitterly. And I believe that he came out of the brokenness a different person. Because if you remember, not long after this, after Jesus was crucified, the Bible says Peter stood up at Pentecost and preached Christ boldly. You look at Peter after this verse right here, and you see a different man than what you saw before this verse. Peter, post-resurrection scene, he was bold in his witness, and he preached boldly after Pentecost. The step backwards for Peter was being broken over his sin. Being broken over his sin. Here's my conclusion for us today. I believe this with all my heart, and I'm a pretty simplistic person. I believe that Satan has a plan for my life. This is one of the things that you'll hear Emory say over again. Because I want to remind you that Satan has a plan for your life. What do you mean, Emory? Well, when I was born in the family of Satan. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I was born in that family of sinners. But one day, I left that family of sinners and I crossed over and I accepted the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross for my sins, and I changed families and I joined the family of God. Here's the neat deal about this thing. Satan can never own me again. I was bought with the blood that was shed on the cross. And so when God bought me, I am His forever. Forever. Satan knows he can never own me again. So what does Satan try to do? Satan tries to get me to disobey, to fall on my nose, and I won't influence anybody to come to God. I won't influence anybody to come to Jesus. It really affects your witness life if you continue doing sin, little S-I-N-S. You see, Jesus died for the capital S-I-N in your life. You know, and so we still mess up. And so what Satan wants you to do is play with your mind, and he has a plan for your life. Here's what he wants you to do. Number one, he wants you to be in rebellion as a Christian. You know, you can be a Christian and be in rebellion. It doesn't affect your salvation, but you can be in rebellion. You can be in rebellion. And see, 1 John 1:9 is for the believer that finds themselves doing what they shouldn't be doing. If you will confess your sin, he said, "I'll be faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness." 1 John 1:9 is for the Christian. It's not for the non-Christian. He's talking about the Christians there that continue to do things that are not right. Well, here's what Satan wants. He wants me to rebel, because then he wants to strip me and you of our dignity. We're a child of the King. We're a believer. We're royal priesthood. We're holy people. The Bible says we're saints. And so what Satan does, he gets Emory to rebel, then he starts stripping me of my dignity, of my reputation. He wants to strip you. And then the third thing he wants you to do, he wants you to run and hide and escape. What do you mean? He wants you to not deal with your sin. He doesn't want you to 1 John 1:9 it. He doesn't want you to repent. He doesn't want you to be restored. He doesn't want that. He wants you to run and hide and escape. Let me just give you some examples. Adam and Eve did that. They rebelled against God in the garden. Excuse the pun. Satan stripped them. They were already stripped. They just didn't know they were stripped. Y'all with me? I don't want to go too fast today. Where's Ralph at today, Doc? Okay, good. I was I had to pause there to see because Ralph wasn't here. That I didn't want to go too fast. And so they were stripped, and then what did they do? They went and tried to hide from God. They tried to hide from God. They tried to escape. They tried to run away from God. That's what Satan does. He wants me to rebel. He wants to strip me of my dignity. And he wants me to, watch this now, he wants me to stay away from you guys. He wants me to stay away from my believer friends. He wants me not to fellowship with them. He wants me not to go to church. He wants me to stay away. He doesn't, because he knows he can never own me again. We were bought with the blood. And he knows that that can be forgiven. But he doesn't want us to approach that throne of forgiveness. He doesn't want us to 1 John 1:9 it. Why? Because see, God has a plan for your life too. Number one, he wants us to experience brokenness. Peter experienced brokenness in that verse. He wants us to experience brokenness over our sin. He wants our sin to bother us, to cause us to go into action. He wants us to experience brokenness. Next one may be a little confusing. He wants you to experience death. Death! No, he wants you to die to self. He wants you to be broken over your sin and die to self. Be broken over your sin and die to self. And then what he wants you to experience is what is called the resurrection life. He wants to be resurrected, a new person, cleansed and forgiven, loved by God. You see this battle that we have between Satan and God over the plans that they have for our lives. But I'm going to tell you, the security of the believer is God will never leave you nor forsake you. Yes, he may be displeased with things I say and what I do and all that, but there's an avenue for me to make it right. And when I approach and make it right, then what he does is, if I'm broken over that sin, he wants me to experience death, and then he wants me to experience resurrection. Peter, listen, he got away from the Lord because of those three steps. He had pride in his life. He was prayerless. But I tell you, the step backwards is he wants us to come back home and be broken over our sin. Psalms 139:23 is just a verse I was reading yesterday. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and lead me in the way forever. God, search my heart, see if there be any wicked way there, and expose it to me, but may I deal with it. Not ignore it, may I deal with it. You can start following Jesus from afar. It doesn't mean you lost your salvation, but I'm going to tell you, you can follow Jesus from afar. You can follow him from afar. And that's not part of his plan for our life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for even this lesson in Peter's life. What a strange character he was. But he's so much like me and a lot of other people. Father, I thank you for this lesson. May you apply it to our lives today.